18. Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
Good morning. Our guest speaker this morning is Prince Emmendon. He's a missionary and member of the Imperial Highway Church of Christ in Downey. He was born in Nigeria and baptized there in 1982. While living in Nigeria, he planted several churches of Christ and preached for them for several years. Prince immigrated to the United States in 1991. Brother Emmendon has attended Los Angeles Technical College, California State University, and the Teacher's Training Bible Certificate Program offered by Pepperdine University. He's married to Anna, and they have three children. Their pursuit is geared toward mission work in Nigeria. Someday, they will return to Africa to serve the Lord. Please come up, Brother Emmendon.
Thank you, Church. I want to stand facing my wife and my family. It's a good feeling that sometime when you try to be off track, your wife will be giving you some kind of sign on what to do and what to say. New Line Church of Christ, may I use this opportunity to say thank you for this wonderful opportunity which you have granted me and my family to come to see you. Not only to see you, but to be part of the experience of this great family. Don't it feel like heaven when you come and see God's people getting busy, singing, praising, studying? Heaven will be a great place to be. Thank Brother Hamvi, a great man I met in a picnic, and now I've come to see the other home he has, which is the church. I was playing soccer with him, and I beat him up anyway. And the daughter, I've been starting to meet her here, but I guess I might see her when we get off the worship section. We played good soccer. He really planned my way to meet with you about last year, but Satan went on the way that disrupted me from coming to meet you. But you know, God's time is the best. I think this is the right time and the right moment for me to come to meet you, and that's why I am here. And I deeply miss Brother Shield, whom I've really been corresponding with before I met Brother James. And I hope I'll get the opportunity to meet many of you and to know you by your names. Brethren, I'm not going to introduce more about the work I'm doing in Nigeria. I'm going to leave it until the elders pave way for me to come give you a good presentation of this work. If you want to get to know me and my family and the work we're doing, please try to grab our pamphlet that tells much about me and the work we are doing in Nigeria. And also participate in reading and seeing the reading and getting to know the update of our mission reporter. I just came back from Africa 2 months ago and was bedridden when I came back, and the Lord lifted me up. When I was in Africa, I saw the note that you wrote to me inviting me to come over there. I said, wow, how I wish I can just fly back to come to see you. But I replied that when I come back, I will be here. And here I am. Brethren, another package I have is our can. We call it Penny Bank Cans. It's also at the foyer. I beg you or request of you to grab one of these. Brethren, while I'm standing here, I want you to know one thing that I am really, really being challenged of the truth of words. So please do not misunderstand me if I use inappropriate word. So I am fighting to know exactly how to address you to captivate your interest to this work. Remember, I'm not here to beg for my family or for myself. I'm here to beg for your, for the opportunity to allow me and my family to serve Christ. Therefore, I am not ashamed to ask you or request of you to be obliged to take a can. And when you fill it up, return it to the elders, and they know what to do with it. Brethren, I would like to talk about Nigerian work again until the end of this service. And probably when the Lord will open the heart, you invite me to give you the full presentation of this work. But thank you for listening to me for 1 minute. I thank my wife, Anna Emedam, my mother-in-law, Rosalind Wangoma, gospel, goodness, and God's power for coming with me today. That ends the pulpit here. You can't see me here again. This is wonderful. Thank the elders for really allowing us to preach the gospel with technology. Isn't it wonderful? Please, and also permit me to come closer to you. I'm not really destroying your space, but that's me. I'm trying to be me. We're talking about the Church of Christ, the nature of the Church of Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee, Peter, the keys to open the kingdom of God. That whatsoever thou lose in heaven should be loose in heaven. I mean, should be loose on earth. You bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Now, can we know the nature of the Church of Christ? As I have given you the text this morning that is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Now, the Church of Christ, what it is? You all know what the Church of Christ is, but in a different perspective today, we're going to study more about the church. We all are members. We are not here just to warm up our seat. We are not here just to dress up, to look good for, you know, to one another. But what is the Church of Christ? You remember the Lord promised to build the church, and he did. Jesus built it. First Pentecost after his death and resurrection. Acts chapter 2, 1. And also 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus, whom you have crucified, that God has made him both Lord and our Christ." When the Pentecostans who heard Peter preach the gospel, they were struck in their heart and they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" These people that ask, "What shall we do?" They don't know nothing they could have done after they have killed Christ. But Peter humbled himself and told them exactly what they would do. 3,000 souls believed the gospel. You see that the church is a blood purchased. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, 28, that the church of God, which God has purchased with his own blood, that the elders should take oversight of it. In Acts 20, 28, you can just read, without shedding of blood, Hebrews chapter 9, 22. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So this church is under the care of the elders. And I'm here to encourage you, to show you how we can work with the elders and why God allowed the elders to take control or take charge of the church. Are you willing to work with the elders? Now, brethren, church is a house for the saved. The saved, those who are saved, are in the church. If you are not saved, I don't know why you're here. I'm just asking you, it's a suggestion, because I'm saved and I want to be kept safe. That's why I'm here. And in order to be kept safe, we must be under the elders. The elders feed how to tend the flock. We are the flock of God. You have any questions to ask, go ask God. Why do you make the elders to tend the flock? I don't know. But God knew the best for us. Therefore, you are here, you must find a way to work well with the elders. This work I'm doing in Africa is going well because it's under the care of the elders. I have really struggled all years without the elders taking care of this work, and I've never been successful. But since it came to the hand of the elders, this work is not going to die. And that's why I'm here, to rub off some blessings from them. And I know God will open the way. Therefore, the church is a house for the saved. Note, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The only place God keeps saved people must be in the church. This is the scriptures. In the church. So you see, we come here not just to warm the chairs or the tables or whatever. We are coming here because we are the saved that want to be kept saved. So that when the return of our Lord comes, we'll be found faithful. And as we have been said, Paul warned Timothy, said, but if I tarry long, that thou may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You see that the church is a place for the saved, and also a place where our conduct, conversation, and character must be displayed. It's a place we have to live our life. You see, if you read the text or the context of Acts chapter 2, from chapter 2, chapter 3, to chapter 4 and 5, you're going to see the Christian community. People saw how Christians were going together. People saw how they were mingling and having fellowship one with another, breaking their bread from house to house. And their fellowship really impressed the Jews. And they wanted to be part of that community. That really lured them in. And this is how you will grow more. The record shows that you grow in 250. I wouldn't really wait to see you guys come to 300. There must be house fellowship. You got to fellowship with one another. You have to really learn to impress your neighbors. Tell them, be proud to tell them that you are members of the Church of Christ. And God will lift you up. Church is the type. Ark, Noah's Ark, is the type of the church. Now, let us say this, that in the days of Noah, Noah built an ark. But those found inside the ark were saved. Is that correct? Those who are found in the church today should be saved. But are you saved? Many of us who are saved don't even claim that we are saved because we are not sure. Because of how we live our life. Because how we conduct our character. Because how we fellowship with one another. We are unsure of salvation. But I am here to tell you that we have to reclaim salvation. Because we are saved. We are in the church. Are you not in the church? We are not in this building. You might think that this building is it's not what I'm referring to as a church. I'm referring to as the people we are. We are together. We have to feel the warmth of heaven. We have been saved. Look at the ark. Those who are finding the ark, they were saved. Therefore, saved people, saved creatures in the church today, those who are finding the church should be saved as those who were in the ark. Those who are outside the ark, those who are outside the church, they are lost. Whether you believe it or not, that's how my Bible taught me. If you are not in the church, you got a problem. If you are in the church, though we have a problem, the problem we have is to keep being saved. But Bible says we must be unmovable, steadfast. Since we know that our labor in the Lord is not in the vain. So that when Jesus comes in his house, first, judgment starts. He will collect us to heaven. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 24. Then comes the end when you must have delivered the kingdom back to God. Jesus is coming to for a purpose to deliver the kingdom back to God. He's coming to deliver the church back to God. Not those outside. So if you are outside, you are in trouble. And those outside, get ready for me because I'm coming. The church is a place to walk. Do you know that a church is a place to walk? This is a preacher. You think that preaching the gospel of Christ is not a work? The only thing you think that is a work is carpenters, engineers, scientists, software developers, and so on and so forth. No, preaching is a work. I just came back from Africa. We have 19 people that came to the Lord. I walk night and day. Every day we are having chains. We are having baptisms. I was teaching tirelessly. I even forgo eating. And when I came back here, I couldn't even sing. I couldn't even say hi to our elders. I was worn out. People coming to tap questions, solutions. I forgot eating. When I came back, I had liver inflammation. My doctor told me that, Prince, you have to go take bed rest for 2 weeks. Bed rest for 2 good weeks, and I did. He refused to give me a pill. Said, my pill is to rest. But there is no rest for us until the work is done. If we seek to have our rest now, when the Lord comes, what are we going to have? In our Bible class this morning, we learn about what is your life. Nobody knows when you're going to die. But it doesn't mean we have to be careless when we're on a mission field. I have to tell you, I have all the plans to go to doctors, but the restrictions and the unavailabilities of means and just weaken me that you cannot even do what you want to do when you are in the bush preaching the gospel. I don't want to get sidetracked. I just want to let you know that the work is much. And with your sympathy, we can do more for God. Church is a place to work. I'm not here just to preach. I'm selling Christ's message so that we can go to work. Now that is day. Night cometh. We all go to sleep. We're going to work. But now is day. We have to wake up and go to God's work. A church, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, 12. You can see how Paul is doing some kind of paradigm shift here. He's just shifting from the church as collective work to individuals. You see, that all of us must learn how to work for our self-salvation individually. But we must have to also find a way to work with the church so that we'll be saved. Find out, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus also said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can walk. John chapter 9, verse 4. I am here to ask you to walk with me in Africa because the work is too much. And the area we're working is, I am the first generation Christian, the first person that is really one of the first people that we are converted there. So I have the enormous responsibility to propagate the gospel of Christ. But I cannot do it alone. In order to do this work, you must know the book. You must know what to teach. You must know what to do. If I don't know what I'm preaching, I can't stand before you, let me tell you the truth. And if I don't know what to present, the elders won't send me here. Let me tell you the truth. The elders are done. He has confidence in me. That's why they allow me to come here. And I thank you for the opportunity given to me to get to know me a little bit. So, brethren, studying the scripture is very, very important. We must be a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the gospel of, it's the power of God unto salvation to him that believeth, to the Jews first, then the Greek. For wherein the righteousness of God was revealed from faith to faith. So we got to be educated. And now we are looking for men to go to Africa to preach, to teach, and come back. Just take a vacation. Take a vacation and just walk with me. God will bless you. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Don't tell me that Jesus has not sent you to go to harvest for him. He has committed, he has entrusted the key of the gospel to your hand. The world can never be evangelized until Christians everywhere they find become evangelists. We notice that. And if you refuse to evangelize the area where you are, God may allow some kind of trouble to hit you. We find the example, you know, when Jesus told the disciples, stay in Jerusalem. But remember, you have to be my own witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. They stayed in Jerusalem, they don't want to leave. God allowed persecution to dispatch them. Philip, found in Samaria, preaching. All other disciples, they all scattered everywhere in the whole world, preaching the gospel of Christ. Therefore, don't allow God to scare you or to stir you up with troubles. Before you know that it is your civic duty to preach the gospel of Christ. Assume responsibility and receive and enjoy God's blessing. There are many ways you can do God's work, which we will enlist later on. The marathon was just run a few days ago, but I want to tell you that the church is endless place to run a marathon. Church is a place to do what? To run a race. We can never stop running our marathon. We will always continue to run this race. Why is the church a place to run a race? Are you just coming here to dress up? You just come here to dress up, put on your tie to look good, more than me? Like, brother, I'm forgetting your name, I'm sorry, one of the elders. What's your name again? I'm going to get his name later on. Brother James, I know, and Shared, and the Hanvi. I'll get to know the names of the elders. So we are not here just to dress up well. We are here to assume responsibility. We are here also to put on our tennis shoes to go run a race. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which dwells so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that was set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, 1. If you know that this is a race, how are you running this race? We must run this race. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run, that you may obtain. And every man that strives for mystery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 26, Paul was addressing. How sure are you fighting, or are you running your race? We must run this race in order to win. I'm here to encourage you and to encourage myself to stay in the race, to run it, as though we're going to win, or we are winners. You remember somebody said, I am here, I'm prepared, only to make a victory speech. I'm not ready to concede. And he ended up conceding. So we have to really be prepared to move on with God and to trust in him, willing to obtain the crown. Church is not only a place to run a race. Church is a place for war. I don't know if you're going to see what I mean. Church is a place for war. I have never had any trouble or more trouble than I ever had in the church. Church is a place for war. A lot of troubles originate from the church. You know why? We all came from denominational churches, but we have never left our denominational attitude and practices. That's why we still have conflict and troubles. But how are you fighting? How are you warring? You remember, if I go back, you remember the two wars we are ending in Iraq and Afghanistan? These men carry bullets and carry guns and machine guns, artillery, and so on and so forth, dress up and they're equipped. How equipped are you? Do you know we are in a war? We're in a war of denominationalism. We're fighting governmental agendas and gays and lesbians. There are many vices that is really mitigating the church that is trying to fight, creeping into the Church of Christ. And that's why we have a fence, elders. They are given charge to fence the wall of the flock that false doctrine do not prompt in. And when it comes, how are you going to fight this war? A place to fight a war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See our warfare. Paul went to Rome unprepared, only to find himself in chains, the teacher taught us today. But he used the opportunity to really achieve his goal, preach the gospel. So we have to be prepared every time to carry our warfare. Not guns, though we have guns. Not helmet, though we have helmet. Not everything, artillery. We have everything according to the faith and operation of God. Be loved. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 1:3. You can never do well as a Christian except you recognize that we are in a fight. We are in a war zone. We are fighting a war. Think about it for a moment. What kind of warfare? I've already read it. Our sword is the Bible. Use it. Make good use of it. I don't want to read here because we read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, verse 13. At a good time, you might read it. Paul goes on to say that he has fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Can you be like Brother Paul to claim that you have really fought a good fight? Can you? Can you just feel happy that you have fought a good fight? That what you are now hoping for is that crown that God will give you at the last moment. Just feel Paul and be in Paul's shoe. Church, most definitely, you know, is a place to pray. If you are not a prayer in church, you will never be successful. You're going to be in troubles all the time. We must have, you know, you're not going to, people have already always said there is no vertical relationship if there is no horizontal relationship. I can't relate well with my brother or with my sister or with my family if I do not relate well with God. I try to say it's a cross thing. That's why Jesus went on the cross, vertical, horizontal. We must pray, be a praying church. Prayer changes things. Paul says, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it the den of thieves. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Church is not a place to gamble. It's not a place either on the At the Church of Christ, we don't play bingo, so I don't know if you do that. So, but some people do it with exchanging money. I don't know about all those games, but some of the things we do, we take it away from the church a little bit. I don't want to get in trouble because, for one thing, I know if I say anything that is wrong, I'll be kept aside and be talked to. I'm very much aware of that. The elders will say that to me, but with boldness, I proclaim the truth. The church will not be misconstrued. It's a place to be serious with prayers. It's a place to be prepared with war, to fight. And it's a place to love one another. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all these saints. You just don't pray only for yourself. Pray for me. Pray for many like me that are in the bush in Africa seeking opportunities to reach people to save them. Those, sometimes they'll be out of their network. They might not even have their cell phones or means to communicate outside the world. The only hope is the next day they can meet one business center to make a call. They're not even sure the next meal they're going to eat. The only hope is to travel for 2-3 more hours before they can find a little snack to put in your mouth. But here we as poor, we take everything for granted. Look at where you sitting, brethren. It's amazing. Look at our flaws. A brother told me, we cannot fathom to all really understand what you're talking about until we be there. But many of us cannot go to Africa. You will not be there. Many of you cannot be there until you die. But you can be there with your resources and give God glory by faith. It's a work of faith. With your prayers, God can lift those work. Brethren, lift up your eyes. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The church is a place to worship. Of course, that's what we are doing now. And I wouldn't like to kill most of our time because I know we know what worship is. That's why we are here. That's why we come to worship God. And God is taking the glory. We come here to recognize that God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And for this purpose, and for his pleasures, we are created in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. We are here because we know who we worship, because we've been taught. Jesus said, you know not who you worship or what you worship. We know what we do, the Jews, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. John chapter 4, 24 to 20, 22 to 24. The church is a place to equip the saints to go to work. Now I tell you that the church, if the elders do not equip the saints, if the elders did not get things to send them out, the world will be blind. The church is the only institution of God has to do these things. That's why he kept elders in place, so that the elders can move the saints to go to work. Go to work, equip them, support them. How can they go if they are not sent? How can they hear without a preacher? So you see, the preaching of the gospel is being motivated by the support of the elders. And that's why I come here, brethren, to tap current. I'm just here rubbing the elders' body and hands and trying to see if they can help me do some good work in Africa. And I know by God's willing, with the heavy load I know they have already. They can put me in their feet, but not to smash me. I'm ready to pick up these crumbs that fell off from their tables to do this work, great work in Africa. That's why I came with my penny bags. I did not come here to ask you for dollars. I come begging for pennies. They all add up. An elder here told me. That's why I'm here. So, this reason, the church must be in a perfect unison because of the administrative order, the orderliness of God. Let everything be done in decent way and in orderly way. God kept the apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. Questions. I'm closing up, brethren. I know many of you will say, Brother Prince, it's about time to stop. I'm stopping. I know the time given to me is whining, but I have some questions to ask. Are you in the church lukewarm? The Lord will pour you out of his mouth. Repent and go to work. No excuse. Let me tell you something about elders. Busy. Busy man, but I keep them more busy than ever. If I go to my elders now, I'm going to comfort them. I need some checks so that we can get the work in Africa going. You don't ask them, they will forget because of other assignments they have. So if you really want to work, you got to go closer to them, remind them frequently, ask them, plead them, walk with them, pray for them, disturb them. Some of them like it. Some, I don't know, may not like it. But you go to them prayerfully. You get what you want. You go to work. And they will bless you. Be a busy Christian. Therefore, beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58. Brethren, before I end up or close up, I can't forgo this important message. How many of you here that have not been baptized into Christ? Can you raise up your hands? Don't be ashamed. You've not been baptized into Christ. Can you raise up your hand anywhere you are? Maybe you don't understand my accent. I can call a brother who can just say it out better than I do. Take your hands up anywhere you are. You've not been baptized. Except me, I'm just helping you. I've been baptized, but I'm helping you to demonstrate what I needed to see. Okay, it looks like many of us here have been baptized, but I want to tell you, a few of you that raise your hands up, I want you to pay attention to the board now. This hour is dedicated for you. Listen. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ our Lord was died for you. I carry gospel enacted anywhere I go. Try to help those who have not received Christ to see the reason why they should believe in Christ. Jesus died for you. Paul is now preaching to you, and I'm preaching through Paul. Paul said that I delivered to the Corinthians how Christ died for them, for their sins, according to the scriptures. And that after Jesus Christ our Lord was buried, and then he rose the third day into glory. Now Jesus has taken your part. You are the person that's supposed to die. You are the person who are supposed to be buried and be forgotten, but Jesus came. Died for you, buried for you, and resurrected for you and me to give us hope of eternal life. Now, simple assignment you got to do, we have to reenact. We have to go into the death of Christ. gospel reenacted. We must show by faith that really, I am worthy to die the death of Christ. Now, see what Paul says. Know you not that many of us who are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into Christ's death. See, when Christ died, when you repent of your sin, when you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ, you are dead to sin. You can see the man here, the preacher is willing to help him be baptized because he believed that Jesus died for him. So, as this lesson goes, take it to your heart. Ask yourself, what's going on? What is the operation? Why me? Why haven't I been baptized? So Paul goes on to say that we were buried in baptism with Christ. It's a burial. But we cannot die that death alone. Jesus was willing to die with us. And he took us. And we were buried with Jesus Christ. As Christ, our Lord, was raising from the dead, Jesus will raise us up. But one thing will be missing when we come up. Our sins will be washed away. Are you here today? This is Romans chapter 6, 3-5. I'm asking you, why won't you be baptized and wash away your sins? Why won't you be baptized and wash away your sin? This is what it takes. This is a preacher or a brother with a smiling, beautiful lady who have just experienced a wash away sin. Can't your sins be washed away? If any of these lessons touches you, this is your opportunity to stand anywhere you are or walk to the aisle and just sit here so we can take your confession. If you are a brother or a sister, or you're having some hard time in this hard moment, you see, I'm standing here just to help you to stand out with me so that the elders or the church or the designer, somebody will come offer special prayer for you and me for standing out. But this time around with your difficulties or your troubled time, I have to tell you that in the Bible class today, it was another good experience that the sister just busted out into tears because of decisions. And with such ones, we have to put her in our constant prayers. But there are many, many people like her who needs prayers. The prayer of the saints availeth much. God would like you to come, regardless how you are. Make your request known to the church so that they can pray for you. This is your hour. This is your time. While we stand, sing songs of invitation, come out as you are. Thank you.